Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
My name is Charlie Stemp, and you're listening to 11, the official theatre podcast.
Hello and welcome to 11, the official theatre podcast that brings the biggest stars and creatives together in one place to discuss life in the arts. He's the West End leading man and double Olivier nominee that is currently in the closing weeks of his star turn as Bobby in Susan Stroman's extraordinary take on Crazy for You. No stranger to a moment in the spotlight, he has theatrical credits to his name, including playing Bert in Mary Poppins, Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends, Wicked, Mamma Mia, and for three consecutive Christmas seasons, starred in the Palladium pantomime. He also took a trip across the pond to make his Broadway debut as Barnaby Tucker in Hello Dolly, opposite none other than Bette Midler and Bernadette Peters. But perhaps he's best known to us all for playing Arthur Kipps in Cameron Mackintosh's new production of Half a Sixpence, both originally at the Chichester Festival Theatre and later during its West End transfer to the Noel Coward Theatre. So here, in an exclusive conversation direct from his hammock in his garden, it'll make sense in a minute, we talk dancing the hardest work of his life in Susan Stroman's rather extraordinary production of Crazy for You, getting to celebrate his love of dance and why he is an all or nothing sort of guy. Plus, we talk the unexpected challenges of Broadway, backstage chats with Sarah Jessica Parker herself, and why the support of his family and friends means everything. It's the very, very charming Charlie Stemp here now on this, the next episode of 11, the official theatre podcast. To ensure the safety of all involved in this episode of 11, Charlie and I connected for this conversation digitally, so please forgive any brief moments while we wait for the internet to catch up. Enjoy. Please help me welcome to this, the next episode of 11. He's the West End leading man that's dancing his way to roaring success. So I say a very big hello from kind of the shiniest hammock. What is going on? Hello, Charlie Stemp. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I have massive, massive FOMO about the fact you're in a hammock. I mean, life is good, right?
Yeah, I'm really, really lucky at the moment. It's really great. I mean, doing the show is really kind of great and wonderful, but it's also very hard. So any chance I get to kind of try and relax, I'm always kind of either in my hammock or in my bed.
Is hammock time a relaxing time for you? Is that the time to escape from the madness?
100%. Yeah. I bought it. Funnily enough, I bought it when I was in America. I did a show out in America for a little bit and I was there for about 9 months. New York is amazing, but it's just so fast paced. So after the first like 3 months, I remember thinking, I was like, oh, why does my jaw hurt? And I realized that I'd been like so stressed just from like the cars and like the hustle and bustle of everything that I realized like I didn't actually have much time to relax. So I invested in a hammock that went on my tiny little balcony and it took up my entire balcony, but it was just the perfect thing. I got some noise cancelling headphones and it was just like I was on a beach. It was wonderful.
That seems like a very clever idea and actually kind of genius. I think they famously said like hammer time, but it should be hammock time should be the new
vibe. Absolutely. We'll re-record that one.
Has it ever made its way into the dressing room here in London, or is this something that's exclusive for you at home?
No, it has not made it into the dressing room. To be fair, when I'm at work, I try and kind of keep myself as switched on as possible until it's, unless it's in between shows, and then I always try and have a little sleep. So definitely I'm trying to not relax when I'm at work. I'm trying to kind of keep that energy going and trying to socialize as much as possible. It's definitely my time to kind of chat to people and socialize as much as possible, really.
And it's high energy for you in this show. I mean, Crazy View is like this amazing show, but I can imagine for you, like, you've got to dig deep, you've got to find some energy, and you've got to find, you know, everything from inside of you. I guess firstly and most importantly, are you having the best time? Because what getting, I guess, the pleasure, and it is a real pleasure of getting to watch you on stage, you just think they're really enjoying this, and it's actually very infectious. So the good energy is a good vibe.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it's coming across that way, because that's definitely how we feel. Yes, the show is such a wonderful journey to go on every night. It's kind of, yes, exhausting. It really is exhausting, but it's also so enjoyable for me to have such an opportunity to try so many different parts of theatre, you know, whether that be the singing or the dancing or the acting or the tap as well. I know tap is dancing, but it kind of feels different. And to kind of have such tricky and complicated challenges every night, because it is, you know, everything I do in the show is some of the hardest dancing I've ever done. So like every night something will go wrong. And, you know, if I have a bad show, quite a few things go wrong. But as much as that can be quite stressful, it's also really enjoyable, because every night you kind of have this risk element that is so kind of, I'm so proud of, because every night it's not that I can rein it in, or I can like be like, oh, I can give an 80% show today. If I try and give an 80% show, it shows so clearly. So yes, it is very tiring, but I'm supported so well by the cast. Everyone in my cast is just so great. And anytime I'm tired, I kind of look at them and see how hard they're working. I'm like, okay, I can do it. They can. So, you know. We push together.
And there's no such thing as a half-assed performance from Charlie Stemp. I've seen you in so many varying different shows now, and it always feels like you just give 100%. Is that, I guess, is excellence a minimum for you? Is that the sort of vibe you go for?
Oh, well, I have learned in my few years of doing theatre that perfection and excellence are a slippery slope to try and see them as that, as much as you want to, you know. Yeah. There is definitely this side of me that tries to push for it being the best it's ever been. But I think for me, it's more that when that adrenaline hits me and when I have 2,000 people staring at me, you can't help but kind of just give 100% of whatever you have. And I will challenge anybody to not do that when, you know, there is so much pressure on your shoulders to do so. So it's always been something that I've always had far too much energy. If I wasn't doing this show, I'd be doing something else silly, like climbing a mountain or doing something like that. You know, standing still is not something that I do well.
So when the idea was brought to you about this show, you know, it's such a synonymous role and it's such an extraordinary, extraordinary show. Were you like, yeah, of course I want to do it? Or were you like, I think most people, which would be like, oh my gosh, you really have to be a triple threat to do this. Were you like, this is like a big challenge to me, I guess. How did you react initially? And has that changed now that you're so deep into it?
My immediate instinct was, yeah, let's do it. There's okay. No question. Let's do it. I hadn't seen the show, but I knew most of the songs. I knew of Susan Stroman, having watched The Producers very recently for the first time, and also having watched quite a few of her shows. The Hugh Jackman version of Oklahoma I'd seen as well. So I knew who she was. So when my agent said, listen, they want to do this in Chichester, and especially because it was Chichester, which is kind of like my home away from home, there was just no question for me that this was going to be something that I wanted to do. So we kind of had to chat with Cameron McIntosh at the time, because from like a contract point of view, we were doing Mary Poppins, and that means that contractually I have to do every show and I can't do any other work. So we had to kind of just call Cameron and just say, listen, I know we're doing Mary Poppins, but this would be really special. And I think it's such a testament to Cameron, and it's also such a testament to his love of theater that he knew that this was something that I needed to do and that he wanted me to do as well. And I think that shows the love he has for me, and but also for theatre, and just of being like, yeah, you have to try something else. You have to do something else. So I'm very grateful to him, for letting me take on this opportunity and this role. And we're still finding little moments that are really enjoyable and really special. And we're still finding ways to have fun with it.
What about when you have people like Cameron in your life that you know, make those sacrifices in the industry to make sure that you're always moving forward, but also to then have a colleague like Susan, who is literally one of the best in the business ever? Is that the moment where you sit there going, obviously, like, yeah, cool, the pressure's on and I want to deliver and I absolutely will, but this is the moments that I'll remember when I'm older. This is the cool bit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of I feel a lot of pride. I feel a lot of pride with it. And it is yeah, really cool to be like, yeah, I'm just going to text Stro today and just say, I hope you're doing okay. I know you've got a busy week this week. And, you know, and same with Cameron as well. But I think what's so interesting about these people is they will be remembered by everybody for what they've done in theatre. But actually what I'll remember them for is their kindness and their compassion, their human, you know, their humanity. So I'm so proud to have these titans of theatre in my life. But also I'm very, very proud that I can call them my friends as well.
We reference about it being high energy in the show, but also there's a lot of joy that you take with you when you leave the theatre. I think leaving the show puts you in a better place than when you first go in. Have you had the opportunity to connect with people at the stage door, if it's been through social media, for them to tell, you know, perhaps it's even just a very polite thank you for a great night at the theatre, because it is a great night at the theatre, but also you do leave a little bit higher, you know, it makes you feel good seeing the show.
Yeah, I do. I've had some really lovely conversations with people at stage door who've kind of expressed their love of the show and also their love of my performance, which is always really lovely when that happens. And yeah, it is. I'm very proud to be doing something that puts a smile on people's faces. That's always something that I've really enjoyed and comes very naturally for me to want to do, is to put a smile on someone's face. So yeah, stage door is always, in some ways it can be very tricky, because as an actor who's just done quite a big show, sometimes it can be quite daunting to then go out and meet people who've spent the last 3 hours kind of seeing you as a character and not as the person that you are. So it can be quite daunting sometimes to go outside, but actually I've had nothing but wonderful experiences on the show of people who just want to express, and people who say like, oh yeah, this is our 7th, 8th time, you know, we're coming back next week. And, you know, I think it's just so great to, as I said, to be able to just be a part of something that just uplifts people.
Was it the same sort of vibe when you've done the Palladium pantomime, where you know that that's a family moment that they will remember for a long time about how it made them feel?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're part of such a magical show like the Pantos at the Palladium, like my mum used to go with my great granddad, used to take my mum to the Palladium Pantos. Wow. So, you know, to be a part of that history and to be a part of the family they have there, and I'm gutted I can't be there this year. It's such a proud moment for me to be a part of that contract, actually, because growing up, Panto was what we watched. It was the only thing we could afford as a family. So we would go to the Orchard Theatre in Dartford and watch Pantos every year. And that was kind of my only theatre experience until I was a mid-teen, you know, guy. So I feel so proud that I was able to be a part of what's probably one of the greatest Pantos ever.
And also, it was so nice to sit in a theatre with such just a diverse group of people of every age and background. Just people being like, you know, I'm sat next to a child in a theatre that normally like, oh gosh, they're going to talk. But they're so engrossed in what's going on that you almost lived the show through them. Like, do you feel that energy?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, one of the proudest moments of my career is flying out in a double decker bus over the audience at the London Palladium and just watching the face of kids be like, oh my god, what is happening? And then watching their, you know, mum or dad next to them have the exact same face is such an uplifting memory.
I can imagine you have a similar response as well with families that perhaps came in touch with Crazy a few years ago and perhaps are then coming now back with their children or their grandchildren or perhaps even another generation down, like to see like, oh, I remember this, or I remember seeing this, or I loved this bit. Is that also an interesting conversation to see how you're a very important chapter now in the history of this show and that you're going to be part of future conversations as well, because that's like a legacy bit, right?
Yeah, it is. I've never really thought of it that way, and that's so true. Yes, I mean, the show holds so many memories for so many different generations, as you said, not just with the show but also just with the Gershwin songs. Like, we had a 95 year old woman who came who remembers, you know, listening to Gershwin when she was younger, you know, as a kid, and to have that for her daughter to come watch the show and then for their grandchildren to come watch the show. And it's so wonderful to be a part of such a legacy, and for us to kind of do it as much justice as I feel we've done, we feel very, very proud.
So I guess how do you create that line between, I guess, the character and Charlie, if it's to do with like legacy of the show, but, you know, taking Poppins, like that's obviously such a synonymous role. I guess, how do you bring you without going too far, but making sure you honor the original, I get, or is doing that actually the joy, is making that work? Is that kind of part of the love of it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more instinctive for me than something that I have to keep an eye on. I know some actors who do. I was speaking to my friend Pete the other day, who's in Jersey Boys. He's playing Tommy in Jersey Boys. And we're having a really interesting conversation where he was kind of talking about, he was like, oh, playing the role of this person who's really kind of like not a nice guy. And he was like, I feel it pulling into my life sometimes of me kind of just naturally wanting to lean into just being, you know, grumpy and being physical and, you know, just being not a nice guy. And he was like, I have to remind myself and just calm myself down. And it worked for him because, there's, you know, him in the show is just wonderful. So for me, it feels very different where actually I try and add a little bit of myself to every kind of character that I do. I really like to enjoy that feeling of embracing a mix between a character and yourself and living kind of vicariously through this character, as it were. So that's always been something that I've really enjoyed and I don't actually have to think about too much. And I think because of that, when I finish the show, I can feel like I've held on to a part of myself.
So when you go back into a show like Poppins, is that then the joy where you get to remind yourself, oh, I did it, I loved it, I stopped doing it, obviously, for something rather wonderful. When you then go back, do you almost enjoy it more the second time because you almost lost it in a way? And then you're like, oh, I'm so nice to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. And it was really kind of wonderful to go back with. I went back and we had a cast change, so we had a new set of casts, and it wasn't that I was, you know, didn't enjoy the cast that we had before, but different casts bring different energies. So it really was kind of coming back to a new show, and we kind of had to have a change of with there only being, I think, 3 months left. There was only 3 months left of the contract, so that puts a completely different spin on how everybody deals with day to day. You know, we speak about contracts, and actually there's such a difference in the energy of a cast of people when the contract is only 6 months as opposed to 16 or 18 months, you know. Yeah. 18-month contracts are hard to do, and sometimes kind of manifests itself in everybody kind of just like keeping their head down, not talking too much with each other, or it can go the opposite and everybody can just be like, we are in this together, we need to band together. So coming back to Poppins was so wonderful because everybody was so celebratory of this last chance we had to tell this story and the last chance we had to be together. So it felt so kind of like we were bonding. We were all really bonding together. It was really, really special.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Talk to me about what the experience was like for you as a creative, getting to go from being a star here in the West End to New York. And, you know, is that the sort of experience that you almost appreciate a little bit more after it's happened, because you get to look at it from an outsider's perspective? Because that's the stuff of dreams, right? That's the stuff where you sit there going, I cannot actually believe this is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very kind of like I was just a deer in headlights. Like, I didn't really know. I couldn't fully comprehend how special the adventure was and what I was doing. And I think that's probably for the best, as much as, you know, I would have now, would have done it, of course, done it differently. But I learned so much. I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about the industry over there, which is just so different. And it's not at all that, you know, the actors are better or anyone's better. It's not that the standard is just as high on the West End as it is on Broadway. But the difference is there are 10 times more people in America. So for every one person we have that's extraordinarily special, they have 10. So that affects the cast so differently, where everybody's a little bit older because they're paid better. So you have people who are in the ensemble who have kids and who have family, whereas here that doesn't happen as much. But that's starting to change, so that's a good thing. One thing that I found wonderful was that everyone was just so kind of older and mature. So how they dealt with everything day to day was just that this show is such a wonderful part of my life, but it also isn't the be all and end all. And that actually can be really, really great to have, because if the energy in the building is that this needs to be the most perfect thing we've ever done, actually that's not possible. And all that does sometimes is actually negatively impacts other people. But actually, when you kind of walk into a building and you just say, we're going to give it everything we have today, we're going to try our best, and we're going to have fun at the same time, that just brings out such a wonderful energy. So the shows that I did, I just remember being so happy when I was doing the show and around these people who were just so kind of special. And I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot from my friend Gavin Creel, who was my co-star and was just so incredible and so wise. And I was lonely at points. I was very homesick. I kind of found it tricky that when I finished the show, I was like, oh, let's go for a beer. And obviously, because everyone have kids, they were like, oh, I'm sorry, I've got to go home. So I'd kind of walk around. I used to walk around Central Park at like 12 o'clock at night, which is probably not the safest thing to do in the world. But and then because of the time difference, all my friends and family at home, it would be like 5 o'clock in the morning. So at first, I found that really daunting. And then I kind of found this inner kind of part of myself where it was just like, oh, you know, I can, this is my time. I can do whatever I want with this. So I started to read more. I started to dance in my like spare time, just in like a space I had in the gym at my building. And I used to go to the gym at like 12 o'clock at night, which I've never done before. And yeah, I became like a night owl. It was really great. And I celebrate that kind of part of myself now that is able to just be like, okay, I've got this time on my own. That's wonderful. Instead of being like, oh, I need to fill it with other people, you know?
And also it's something that you were able to share. I saw that wonderful photograph that you posted on your social media outside the theater with your mum, which was just so exciting. They're the, I guess they're the extra bits, right? They're the bits that you go, actually, sometimes when I do feel a bit lonely or I do feel a bit down, these are the moments that cancel those out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think one of the differences that I always needed to remind myself is that this loneliness won't last. This isn't my life forever. I'm not a lonely person. I've just been put in a situation where at this moment for the next couple of months, I need to celebrate being on my own. And that's such a difference. And having my mum come out was so wonderful. I mean, she came out like, how many times she's come out? Like 4 times, 5 times? She's just, you know, such a fan. and sell numerous tickets for every one of my shows. I think she sold 250 tickets for Crazy For You so far. Oh, and wow. Counting. Yeah, she should get commission. She really should. And she loves doing it because she puts it all in her Amex and then she gets all the points. So she's a smart woman, my mum. So yeah, I mean, the moments where I could have all my mates come out was just so special. Like I had, as much as I say I was lonely at points, I also had moments where I would have friends come and stay and it was so special. I could take my friends to go watch shows. Any person that came to stay with me, I was like, I'm getting you a discount and I'm paying for you to go watch Dear Evan Hansen because you need to go watch Dear Evan Hansen. That was like my rule. So I think I paid for like 7 people to go watch Dear Evan Hansen, but it was just so worth it because it was one of the most, you know, because obviously everyone came to watch me and Hello Dolly, but then I wanted them to see something different, something really kind of original and special. And my mum loved it. She thought it was one of the best things she's ever seen. I was fuming. She liked that more than Dolly. I was livid.
Like my show, please.
Come on, mum. Here to see me.
It's got to be on brand. I am your son. But was there also like a slightly, I always think this is a slightly weird thing when you're in a cast or have a colleagues like of the stature of yours who are like so famous. Was there a moment where your friends were like, oh, is Bernadette around? Like, I'd love to see you. But like, is there a moment where you're like, excuse me, I'm the star, like with your mum? Or is it like, okay, I'm in it with a legend. I get it. It's fine.
Ah, to be fair, I mean, there was one really special moment that happened before I tell that story. I think most of my friends and my family actually are really wonderful, where actually they prize kind people and they prize people who are just really, really kind. So not that anyone in the show wasn't kind, but until that's kind of proven to them, the thing they value is just kindness. So however, that being said, my mum loves Sex and the City more than anything in the world. So Sarah Jessica Parker was sat next to her on the press night for the show. And I had flown my mum over for the press night. Unbeknownst to me, my mum was sat next to Sarah Jessica Parker. And at the interval of the show, she turns to her, Sarah turned to her friend and said, oh, that boy who plays Barnaby is really good. I can't stop watching him. And my mum immediately was like, that's my son. Like straight away in, chatting to her for ages. And then after the show, Sarah was coming back to see Bernadette and she was going to meet Bernadette. And I passed her on the stairs and she just said, oh, by the way, thought you were really good. Congratulations. Well done. A great show. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And she said, oh, by the way, say hello to your sister, Katie, for me. And I had no idea of the conversation my mum had just had with Sarah Jessica Parker. So I was just the most confused I've ever been in my entire life. And Sarah Jessica Parker kind of like chuckled to herself as she walked away. And then it wasn't until I saw my mum later and I was like, Mum, how did Katie know Sarah Jessica Parker? And she fell about laughing. So yeah, that's a very funny moment.
I presume your sister's a SJP fan, right? She loves Sex and the City.
She does, yes.
Okay, fine. That would actually blow my mind. I think that might be like literally one of the craziest moments ever.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just bring it back to Crazy View for a second. One thing that I think is extraordinary about the show is the opportunity to see dance celebrate in a way that I think so often we don't see in a West End show. And yes, dancing in the West End is extraordinary, but in this show in particular, it really is the best of the best. I mean, just to get lost in this world, you sort of feel a little bit spoilt as an audience member getting to watch it. For you, obviously, you're an incredible actor, an incredible singer, but dance feels like home for Charlie Stemp. For you, is the opportunity you reference about, you know, it's hard every day, you have to really put 100% in, but to get to celebrate a craft that you love so dearly in such a public way, in such a mainstream industry, is that the extra bit for you?
There's such an element of pride, for sure, especially this being Susan Stroman's kind of choreography, and for it to be kind of the one of the most iconic kind of dance shows ever, and to be the kind of main driving force of that is very daunting, but it's also very enjoyable. And there are moments where I have to have a word with myself, like there's like a big solo at the end of the show, Nice Work, and I do like a big dance bit right at the end, and it's so typical of Stro to be like, okay, yeah, you really worked hard, you worked your butt off, and now we're going to give you the hardest dance solo you've ever done. And like by this point, my legs aren't working. My chest is just heaving. I'm dripping with sweat. I can't see. I'm so tired. And my response from when she told me that was, yes, boss. Okay, let's do it. So, you know, to have someone like Susan, like Stro, say that I need more from you, you don't say no. You just figure out a way. And I'm very, very proud to be telling the story that we do through dance. And, you know, and as someone that, as you said, I grew up dancing, and it's one of my passions and something that I'm so proud of. So to be able to be a part of this story and tell it, I'm so proud to do it. And I'll look back in 5-10 years time, and I'll be very proud and be like, oh, I did that. I couldn't believe I did that.
Yeah.
Great.
I felt like a similar thing happened in Half a Sixpence as well, where it was like, oh, we've seen Charlie absolutely go full out, and here's another moment for Charlie to go full. Like, I feel like the only person that's kicking your butt each night is yourself. I feel like you're to blame for this.
Yeah, I probably am to blame. In rehearsals, I have a rule where I just don't say no. So never say no. Just always just find a way around it, I think is the best way I would look at things. So as I've gotten older, that's maybe changed slightly. Whereas now I will say to myself, okay, can I sustainably do this 8 times a week? My first job was Wicked, and I was tumbler. I let's do a tumble track. And I lied in the audition and said that I could tumble. I couldn't tumble at all. But did a backflip in the audition, having never done one before, and I did it. And I was like, oh, great, I can do this. Fine, whatever. And then I couldn't in the costumes. And I broke my nose, and broke my wrist. I fell on my knees numerous amounts of times. The fact that they didn't fire me is just unbelievable. I learned on that job that actually there's some things that you should probably learn to do properly before you go in. Also, that tumbling 8 times a week is just not something that's sustainable.
I love this idea of being like, yes, I can. No, I can't do that. I'm so sorry.
I've got the job now, so you can't fire me. So let's see what happens.
Whoops. You don't know. Whoops. My bad. Thinking back to, you know, when you were growing up, when you were like, do you know what, I want to perform, I want to dance in whatever capacity, but I know that this is something that means something to me, and therefore I want to explore it. When you look at some of these amazing chapters in your life. What would the Charlie back then have thought of any of these chapters right now? And perhaps what would he have thought of the Charlie sat here swinging in his hammock rather happily talking to me now?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question. I think in all honesty, I never even considered that any of the things that I've done were a possibility, really. I remember finding out that I had got a job on the West End, screaming at my agent at the time, just being like, there's no way this is true. Like, there's just, hadn't even crossed my mind that this was a possibility. So I think every time something special happens, I'm always just so surprised. I haven't gotten used to this life at all. I still feel so humbled by it and so confused in many ways. But I think if the younger Charlie was looking at me right now, I think he'd probably be saying, you know, you can probably work a bit harder. Get up off your hammock and do some work. I think he'd be really proud. I certainly feel very proud of what I've done. I think that the job that we do is always based on a passion and a love of theatre. Like, anytime I go in and I have a chat with students, which I love doing, I love going in and teaching and having conversations with people who are just starting out in the industry, 9 times out of 10, the jobs that you do, you will not be paid very well for. But the reason we do that is because we love it. And what I feel very proud about is that I feel so fortunate to have passed that bracket now and to be paid well for the jobs that I do. But also the passion and the love that I have, I don't work any harder because of the money. I work as hard as I did when I was in Wicked in the Ensemble. I work as hard as I did when I was doing Panto at the Orchard Theatre in Dartford. Like, this job is just about the passion and about the love. And I just feel so fortunate to still be telling stories and to still be a part of wonderful companies of people and to be doing the job that I love.
You should be proud and always live with the motto of, yes, boss, I can do that.
Yes, boss.
However much chaos that causes in your life. Charlie, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. And most importantly, congratulations on the extraordinary work in Crazy For You. It really is very special. So thank you for that performance. And most importantly, for your time now. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Have a lovely day.
Amazing. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to 11, the official theatre podcast. Find out more about 11 at 11podcast.com or via the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.